machines and the strings dangling from your puppeteer's hands, turning you, twisting you into forms and confusions beyond your control. Your mind for a job, your mind for a TV, your mind for a hairdryer, your mind for consumption. With your atom bombs, your material bombs, your drug bombs, your racial bombs, your class bombs, your sexist bombs, your ageist bombs, devastating your natural shelters, making you homeless on Earth, chasing you into illusions, fooling you, making you pretend you can run away from the ravishing of your spirit, while the sound of flowers dying carry messages through the wind, trying to tell you about balance and your safety. Trying to isolate us in a dimension called loneliness, leading us into the trap, believe in their power, but not in ourselves, piling us with guilt, always taking the blame, greed chasing out the balance, trying to isolate us in a dimension called loneliness, economic deity seizing power, through illusions created, armies are justified, class systems are democracy, God listens to warmongers' prayers, tyranny is here, divide and conquer. Trying to isolate us in a dimension called loneliness. Greed a parent. Insecurity the happiness companion. Genocide conceived in sophistication. Technologic material civilization, a rationalization. Replacing a way to live. Trying to isolate us in a dimension called loneliness. To God, we hope you don't mind, but we would like to talk to you. There are some things we need to straighten out. It's about these Christians. They claim to be from your nation. But man, you should see the things they do all the time, blaming it on you. Manifest destiny, genocide, maximized profit, sterilization, raping the earth, lying, taking more than they need in all the forms of the greed. We ask them why. They say it's God's will. Damn, God, they make it so hard. Remember Jesus? Would you send him back to them? Tell them not to kill him. Rather, they should listen. Stop abusing his name and yours. We do not mean to be disrespectful, but you know how it is. Our people have their own ways. We never even heard of you until not long ago. Your representative spoke magnificent things of you, which we were willing to believe. But from the way they acted, we know you and we were being deceived. We do not mean you or your Christian children any bad, but you all came to take all we had. We have not seen you, but we have heard so much. It is time for you to decide what life is worth. We already remember, but maybe you forgot. Look at us. Look at us. We are of earth and water. Look at them. It is the same. Look at us. We are suffering all these years. Look at them. They are connected. Look at us. We are in pain. Look at them, surprised at our anger. Look at us. We are struggling to survive. Look at them, expecting sorrow be benign. Look at us. We are the ones called pagan. Look at them on their arrival. Look at us. We are called subversive. Look at them, descending from name callers. Look at us. We wept sadly in the long dark. Look at them, hiding in technologic light. Look at us, we buried the generations. Look at them, inventing the body count. Look at us, we are older than America. Look at them, chasing a fountain of youth. Look at us, we are embracing Earth. Look at them, clutching today. Look at us, we are living in the generations. Look at them, existing in jobs and debt. Look at us, we have escaped many times. Look at them, they cannot remember. Look at us, we are healing. Look at them, their medicine is patented. Look at us, we are trying. Look at them, what are they doing? Look at us, we are children of Earth. Look at them. Who are they?
This is the anniversary of the firefight that occurred at Oglala Village on the Pine Ridge Reservation, 1975, which, according to the official histories, two FBI agents were murdered by Leonard Peltier.
He's been in jail for almost 30 years. All my life, maybe yours too. His crime, defending his life, the lives of women and children, families. firing at two plainclothes feds that shouldn't have been there, weren't prepared to be there, and had no legal right to be there. The Reign of Terror, Pine Ridge. For a period of time in the 1970s, the Pine Ridge Reservation was under siege. Federally armed and trained vigilante forces, armed by the, quote, elected tribal leader, Dick Wilson, houses getting lit up with gunfire, random checkpoints, bad jacketing, beatings, disappearances, intimidation of community organizers, American Indian Movement members. Nixon era, COINTELPRO, this is the Reign of Terror. FBI infiltration. The result was more than 60 murders over a period of mere months and an aggressive effort to destroy support for AIM. AIM was at times an armed movement, militant. Leonard Peltier left the struggles in the Pacific Northwest and came to Pine Ridge as an AIM member. He was one of many who were called upon to defend the lands belonging to indigenous peoples. All those unsolved murders, uninvestigated murders, murders committed with impunity, goons. One anti-AIM militia actually adopted the acronym Guardians of the Oglala Nation, GOON. An environment where fear and unrest were constant. On June 26, 1975, Agents Calder and Williams sped onto private property on the reservation in plain clothes and in unmarked cars. The FBI claims they are pursuing a vehicle, but has been unable to clarify what vehicle type, color, or who was in the car, except that they entered the property with a warrant and thus legally. The agents entered the Jumping Bull property with a warrant for Jimmy Eagle for the theft of a pair of used cowboy boots. He was not at the Jumping Bull property that day. There have been numerous trials, hearings, and appeals with differing versions of how everything went down, especially how the shooting started. With two agents firing into the home of an elderly couple, there are many people firing weapons. AIM member Joe Kilsright Stunts was shot and killed. So were Kohler and Williams. Within hours, a U.S. government paramilitary force, readily available for just such an occurrence, surrounded the land. Post Wounded Knee 1973, the police state apparatus occupying much of the res included combat-clad U.S. Marshals, FBI, BLM, BIA, local police, local vigilantes, state troopers, tanks, military hardware, and personnel. Still, most of the AIM members and sympathizers were able to escape after the shootout. They fled and went underground. Two were caught, tried, and acquitted based on legal principles of self-defense.
The jury heard Bob Robidoux say, basically, I shot both the agents, wounding them mortally, and under these conditions, I would do it again, and ultimately, the jury agreed. The jury said, yes, any reasonable person confronted with this situation, these kinds of actions by the agents on the day, immersed in the entire context, Reign of Terror, counterinsurgency repression mounted by the FBI, would have conducted themselves in the same way, protecting themselves from armed aggression and protecting non-combatant people who were living with them in a tent village on the security compound as well. Foreman of the jury later said, I'd have blown their brains out.
Leonard fled to Canada, where he went underground and avoided arrest. After being apprehended, he fought extradition to the U.S. The U.S. government produced a witness who testified she saw Leonard execute the agents, that she tried to stop him, that she was his girlfriend. Myrtle Poorbear signed an affidavit affirming this story. In reality, they had never met, nor have they since. The government wanted to secure a conviction, a militant of color to lynch for the crime of killing a cop. With Robidoux and Butler acquitted, Peltier became the primary shooter in the government's story. He was extradited from Canada based on the claims of Myrtle Poorbear, and would stand trial for the first-degree murder of two FBI agents. The Freedom of Information Act declassified thousands of pages of documents on the case, including the FBI's own admission that these extradition papers included false testimony, lies designed to convince the Canadian government to transfer Leonard into U.S. custody. It worked. The federal government installed a biased judge, allowed a biased jury, disallowed testimony regarding the Reign of Terror, manufactured evidence, destroyed, lost, and withheld documents, intimidated witnesses, perjured itself with contradictory testimony, and tried Leonard Peltier in a courtroom that was compared by some to a circus. Evidence included suspicious firing pin tests on the alleged murder weapon, and mysterious bullet casings that appeared and disappeared a couple times. Peltier's attorney, Barry Bachrach, has this to say.
The FBI, despite claiming to have produced all the documents to date, there's still 140,000 documents that haven't been produced, 90,000 alone in the Minneapolis field office.
Leonard Peltier was convicted and given two consecutive life sentences. He has remained behind bars ever since.
On appeal 8 years later, Linker says, and I quote, "We really have no idea who shot the agents."
In 1984, the police state reformed its parole system, but applied the old system to a few prisoners who became known as old law prisoners. A temporary board continues to extend the life of the old law parole system to this day. There are more than 3,000 old law prisoners in the prison system. In the year 2000, as the campaign for executive clemency from outgoing President Bill Clinton gained momentum, a parole judge was accused of filling out the paperwork for a denial of parole during the hearing, as the defense was making its case. When Amy Goodman interviewed Clinton on Election Day 2000, he promised to decide Peltier's fate, but as George W. was inaugurated, Mark Rich had been pardoned, while Leonard's appeal received no response. Here's Ward Churchill on the executive clemency campaign.
This is the entity that will be investigating Slick Willie for his nefarious dealings, alleged, in the aftermath of his leaving office. Now, they can either softball that or they can hardball that. Don't you think somebody sat him down and said, "Bill, you know, we can lose the paperwork and forget about this, and you can die before we ever have a conclusion to the case. Or we can play serious knuckleball, and you're apt to be the first former president who's facing actual prison time, because it's unlikely that W is going to give you a pardon."
Prisoner number 89637-132 has been imprisoned for almost three decades. He worked in the furniture shop at Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary until just 3 years ago. He has many health problems and has been treated well at times, but badly more often. He claims he was nearly killed in a problematic surgery to repair his jaw, which nearly locked and caused a great deal of pain. He is diabetic, nearly blind in one eye, has had bone spurs in his heels for which he has received repeated cortisone shots rather than real medical care, and has had kidney problems. But he lives, and we fight for his freedom. Each day, and especially today, think about Leonard Peltier, his life, the majority of which has been spent behind bars.
Leonard Peltier is not simply a political prisoner, although he is that. Leonard is a prisoner of war. He is a prisoner of the longest ongoing war in this hemisphere. Mention was made by Christian in his introduction of the struggle having at this point lasted a little over 500 years. That's 500 years of conquest, colonization, and genocide. It's also 500 years of consistent resistance on the part of those who were targeted. It's not simply a symbol. He's a man. He is a human being. He's a human being who's been in prison for the last quarter century for standing on his rights, not for having engaged in anything which should have caused him to be where he is. By any reasonable standard, he should have been out of prison almost before he went in. By any reasonable standard, he should certainly come out now.
Misconduct. In 1975, Dennis Banks and Russell Means were on trial. The Judge Nichols, at that time Supreme Court of the 8th District, threw the gavel down and said, "I'm ashamed to be American, that the FBI would stoop so low to corrupt the waters of justice." That same misconduct, a year later, convicted Leonard Peltier. Corrupted evidence, and it's still there in national security. They must release these 6,000 pages, which would release Leonard Peltier. Woo! Oh, we got that.
As pressure mounts, demanding a commutation of sentence, demanding a retrial, as it becomes apparent that more and more and more of constituents, particularly the supposed liberal sectors who vote for a Bill Clinton, are concerned with the resolution of the Peltier case, you can bet that he will exercise his chief executive's prerogative to effect a backroom political resolution to the situation. He wants to take the political heat off. If they wanted him to be released, he'd be out now. They don't.
June 26th, 2005 marks the 30th anniversary of the shootout on the Pine Ridge Reservation, where three men lost their lives. Perhaps four. This is a Critical Mass Radio Network coordinated broadcast. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, broadcasting at 101.1 FM in Santa Cruz, California, and streaming live from freakradio.org. Tonight, we're freeing the airwaves in Dallas, Portland, New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, LA, San Diego, and as always, Santa Cruz. Check out criticalmassradio.net for more information.
Somos transmitiendo en 101.1 FM aquí en Santa Cruz, pero también en la red, en nuestra página de sitio de en la internet, en freakradio.org, freakradio.org. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz in Alta California, the Mexican state until recently part of the country to the south. But right now there's a border where previously there was none. I've heard a lot about that border today, and we are talking about freedom and liberty, which are two words that have been co-opted and twisted and defined in some pretty interesting ways in the last couple of years, in the last couple of centuries. La tema de esta noche es la libertad. Unas palabras que pues tienen significa unas cosas diferentes para gentes diferentes, ¿no? Pero aquí en el aire, en Santa Cruz, California, el estado antiguo, hasta recientemente parte de México, pero ahorita hay una frontera donde anteriormente no estaba. We're broadcasting Free Radio's, Freak Radio's signal in Mexico tonight. Mexico City as part of the Critical Mass Radio Network. I don't believe we're on the air in Philadelphia, as I previously mentioned, but we are on the air in New York, San Diego, San Francisco, DF, Santa Cruz, Dallas, Portland, Oregon, perhaps Los Angeles. Tonight we're reporting on the recent rendition of Leonard Peltier, which immediately followed the 30th anniversary of the shootout on the Jumping Bull Ranch. We just got some information about that. More to come. Leonard Peltier está encarcelado hace estos 30 años. Y él es un miembro del movimiento de indios americanos aquí en los estados. En los estados mal unidos. Y recientemente pasó el aniversario, pero solo una semana después se mudó él a otro cárcel, otra ciudad. Y vamos a oír su reacción, sus palabras en frente de este, pues este ataque, después que muchos años. Eres pues casi viejito en estos años, en este parte. Leonard is getting old, and he's an elder. He's been in for 30 years. He's been in longer than he's been out. So we're going to hear a little bit about this move, very sudden, and again, only within the week after the 30th anniversary of the shootout, he was unexpectedly moved. So we're going to get an update on his case. If you stay tuned right here, Free Radio Santa Cruz. I hope you've enjoyed the broadcast thus far today. I want to thank everyone in the Critical Mass Radio Network for broadcasting. Gracias a todos los colectivos, las estaciones que están transmitiendo en este día, de compartir las ondas en cada ciudad que ya he mencionado. Pero especialmente quiero dar un bienvenido, bienvenida a todos los y las programistas de Radio Zapote en México, en DF. Aquí somos en Santa Cruz. Sí, gracias por venir. Stay tuned to freakradio.org.
You know, we have a million stories to tell. I'm just one of a million or more stories that can be told. Yeah. lot of nights that I lay in my cell and can't understand why this hell and this terror that I've been going through for 21 years hasn't ended.
Esas son las palabras de Leonard Peltier, encarcelado desde hace 30 años. These are the words of Leonard Peltier, who's been in prison for the last 30 years in the United States of America. Un request. No sé de dónde, no recuerdo. Pero uno de ustedes, este es para ti. Radio Libre Santa Cruz. Damas y caballeros, compañeros. These are the words. I'm going to read a statement from the from Leonard Peltier on the 30th anniversary of the shootout. Es pues lo que escribo este hombre, Leonard Peltier. En el aniversario del choque, del incidente. Pero mal preparación, está en inglés, lo siento. So this is Peltier's statement. I know this is a dictated speech that is going to be read to you. However, I want to speak to you as if I were there, or should I say, here with you. Every year, someone or some people at Oglala remember the sacrifices of the people who were there trying to make a difference for our people. And every year, I remember the ones who aren't with us, the ones who can no longer be with us, and the sacrifices that they made. Sometimes I'm at a loss for words for the heartfelt appreciation I have that you would remember all of those that gave their lives, as Joe Stuntz did, and all of those people who continue to strive in so many different ways to serve the people. I deeply regret that I can't be there with you. But in a way, I have to count my blessings. I have lived to see changes take place for our people. Though they are not as good as I would wish, there have been some changes brought about by Joe Stuntz and others who have sacrificed in some way for our people. As I said, I have to be grateful because, although in a limited way, I've had the chance to get to know my children, some of my grandchildren, and they in turn have gotten to know me, something that my brother Joe and so many others who lost their lives fighting for the people did not have an opportunity to do. When I first came here, I was considered a young warrior, and now within my circle, I am looked upon as an elder, something that hopefully all of you will come to be part of in your lifetimes. I had a friend once, an elder who has since gone on, who once said to me that every person that he had consulted with on their deathbed had spoken of the Creator and of their family. That became the highest priority in their life and what was left of it. As he spoke to me, of many, because he had been an emergency room technician at one time. I was thinking, and thinking and remembering this, it always reminds me of the Sundance and the Sweat Lodge and how the extremes of pain and sacrifice always seem to bring those same concerns to mind. Each of us, from the day we are born to the time that we pass on, should remember to talk to the Creator and pray for our relatives. Forgive me if I sound a little sentimental or dramatic, but I've experienced 30 years of dying, 30 years of hearing that some of my relatives have gone on, 30 years of praying for our people, and I am so grateful that the Creator has allowed me to talk to you in some way and let you know that you are my family, you are my relatives, you are my young warriors and my elders. And if I am remembered for anything at all, I want it to be that I never gave up for you. I want you to know that I have faith in you, that one day your efforts will bring about a stronger nation, a nation where alcoholism, diabetes, suicide, and poverty do not control the lives of our people. I know lately there's been a lot of concern and rumors about various individuals who have collaborated in some way with the government against their own people. People who are giving away some of our sovereignty, giving away our right to determine our own destiny and to handle our own affairs. With this in mind, I want to encourage you to remember always who we are, and I want to ask you to remind yourselves that this is our land, given to us by the Creator, and our freedom was given to us by the Creator. The forest, the trees, the animals, the prairie, were all given to us by the Creator. No man or any nation or color of any color of origin has the right to take that away. We have the right given to us by the Creator to resist, to protect our own, to stand firm on the principles and the teachings the Creator has given our people for thousands of years. We are a beautiful people. We have a beautiful culture, and we should seek to join with all our brothers and sisters and relatives of other indigenous nations who are faced with the same dangers of loss. There's an old Cheyenne saying, I once heard that a nation is never defeated until the hearts of its women are on the ground. The hearts of our women may be low, but they are not on the ground, and I damn sure ain't gonna let it happen on my shift. I love you to the nth degree. I always will. You will always be in my prayers. Do what you can, where you can, from where you stand, and to quote Sitting Bull, let's see what kind of nation we can make for our children. I don't say I love you easily, but I want you to know that I love you. My heart is with you, and never give up. Before I finish, I want to say thank you, though I was told by an elder that it was better to show your thanks with your deeds and your gifts rather than just speaking it with your mouth. I apologize that I have nothing to give, but I want you to know that you have my prayers, my thoughts, and what is left of my life. I will always be with you, your relative, in the spirit of Crazy Horse, Leonard Peltier. About a week later, on July 2nd, 2005, this press release was issued from the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee headquarters for immediate release, July 2nd, 2005. Leonard Peltier moved to Terre Haute, Indiana, USP, United States Penitentiary. Without notice to his friends and family, Native American political prisoner Leonard Peltier was moved to Terre Haute, Indiana, Thursday, June 30th, 2005. He has been placed in solitary confinement indefinitely. Peltier has been in prison for 29 years. He is 60 years old, and his health is frail. His defense committee, family, and friends are extremely concerned about his well-being, his health and safety, and the status of the privileges, religious rights, painting privileges, visits, phone calls, etc., that he has earned after decades of good behavior in Leavenworth and other prisons. Leonard Peltier Defense Committee Executive Director Russ Redner confirms this and adds that Leonard Peltier is still a targeted individual for this U.S. government. Leonard Peltier is the only prisoner in U.S. history that the FBI personally took time and money to campaign against and purposefully derailed the judicial process through a series of unauthorized and by now known tactics. Withholding documents, intimidating witnesses, inciting tactics, among other actions not covered by any job duties legally sanctioned. This is strictly black bag SOG operations, like in the illegal wars on other indigenous peoples in the Middle East, he emphasizes. With respect to the concern over Peltier's well-being, he adds, and again this is Russ Redner, LPDC Executive Director, he adds, Leonard Peltier is not just an ordinary prisoner where he rates this kind of treatment. This is the domestic version of rendition as a means to break and derail political dissent. The U.S. prison system is the system that reservations were also a pattern for, and it has been used to kill those perpetrating crimes of all manners and description. It has been used to kill those prisoners of conscience throughout time. Excuse me. It is also responsible for perpetrating crimes of all manners and descriptions. The U.S. prison system is the most inhumane system, using the latest technology to mask its brutal treatment of prisoners. Maximum security and supermax prisons are merely death camps in disguise, so the American people will not think of themselves as cruel and inhumane. We pray that our brother is strong enough to tolerate this evil and that the Creator protects him now more than ever. The Leonard Peltier Defense Committee has closed its Lawrence, Kansas office and is in the process of moving to Terre Haute, Indiana to continue to struggle for the freedom of the beloved indigenous warrior and for justice for his people. They appeal to all supporters, friends, allies, and people of conscience to support Leonard Peltier in whatever way possible at this most critical time. You can contact the prison if you like. U.S. Penitentiary, Terre Haute. 4700 Bureau Road, South, Terre Haute, Indiana, 47802. The phone number is 812-244-4400. One more time. Phone 812-244-4400. Or you can contact the Federal Bureau of Prisons, 320 First Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20534. But then, I'd encourage you to perhaps talk about it, think about it, maybe give some thought to what Leonard Peltier is doing right now in that particular cage that he's in. There's a new book out called Have You Thought of Leonard Peltier Lately by Harvey Arden. We'll hear a little bit from him later. George Cadman, host of Free Radio Santa Cruz's Peace Talks, every Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. spoke with Barry Bachrach, Peltier's lead attorney.
Why don't we just begin by what the latest news is in Leonard's case. I heard he was just transferred from Leavenworth to Terre Haute, and I also heard that his family wasn't informed of this. Is that true?
Correct. We suspected that he'd be transferred for a while because they changed Leavenworth, but I never even found out until a few days after, and his family didn't either. He was just whisked away and brought to Terre Haute, and he's now in the hole at Terre Haute under the guise that they don't have his records.
Now, why is he in the hole?
They say he's in the hole until they have his records, which raises suspicions in my mind, because if you're transferring someone, you should be able to transfer the records immediately. But he's in the hole, apparently awaiting the receipt of the records.
Why was he moved?
Well, they were changing Leavenworth from a maximum security to a lower security, is what we've heard, and they're moving out a number of the prisoners. He's not the only one that I represent that's been moved out.
By law, don't they have to notify the family if they're going to be moving a prisoner like that?
I don't think they're necessarily required, but you'd think common decency would require someone to notify the family or at least his attorney that he's been moved just in case I need to get a hold of him.
I mean, I heard that his grandson attempted to visit him and was just informed, oh, he's not here.
And that's how I found out. His grandson went to visit him Friday morning and was told he's not here, he's been transferred. And that's when I got a call to let me know that he was transferred. And that's when I immediately then began trying to make contact with him. And I was able to make contact with him by Friday afternoon.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about some of the legal things that have happened in his case. He had a hearing a couple of weeks ago in Fargo, North Dakota. Can you talk about that?
The hearing, in a nutshell, challenges the jurisdiction of the court to have convicted him under the statutes that it did. It's fairly technical argument, but the bottom line was it's our position that the federal government had authority only to charge and try him under the Indian Crimes Act, and it charged him with crimes that we contend the U.S. government has no jurisdiction over the reservations. We had that argument on June 15th before Judge Erickson in Fargo, North Dakota, and we're awaiting a decision on that.
What do you think the outcome will be? Are you optimistic? And what would be the best possible scenario?
Well, the best possible scenario would be that the judge agrees there was no jurisdiction, and then Leonard would get a new trial, which he would relish, because I don't think there's any way they could prove the case against him, because the government has already admitted, after withheld evidence and new evidence came to light, that it didn't know who shot the agents. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in 1995, at a parole hearing, the assistant U.S. attorney stated that the government had insufficient evidence to sustain a conviction that Leonard shot the agents. So the best possible outcome would be that the court finds that he was tried under the wrong statutes and he'd be given a new trial.
So even the FBI admits openly, publicly, that they don't know who shot the FBI agents that Leonard Peltier was convicted of killing?
Oh, absolutely.
How can he still be in prison, then, if they admit that they don't know who was responsible?
What happened was Leonard was tried, and the linchpin of the case was that he shot the agents, because they tried him as being a cold-blooded murderer, was the link between an AR-15 and a casing that was found in one of the agents' trunks a few days after the incident. After the trial, Leonard's defense team sent out Freedom of Information requests, and the government produced evidence which showed that they intentionally withheld evidence and intentionally withheld a test which showed that there was no link between that gun and the casing. And that, in a nutshell, would have that broke the link of Leonard being the shooter. The government, at oral argument before the Eighth Circuit, on several occasions after the government got caught with that bad act, admitted that it does not know who shot the agents. So then they changed their theory to, well, the conviction can be upheld on aiding and abetting, which carries the same penalty. No one to date has ever explained how Leonard aided and abetted. They just did a sort of a shell game and upheld the conviction on that other ground.
Mm-hmm. So I want to remind people, you're listening to 101.1 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm speaking with Barry Bachrach. He's lead counsel for Leonard Peltier and has been for the last 4 years. I'm wondering, again, what people can do. You're asking people to contact the prison. Is that?
And the Bureau of Prisons. And in fact, on the website, there's a standard letter that people can look at and right. In fact, you'd ask me how Leonard was doing. He wasn't given his medication for a few days and was only getting it after I spoke to him. You know, I think it's important that people get involved in this aspect, and they should also learn more and get involved in Leonard's case in general. There's many ways people can get involved, and they can contact the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee. It's extremely important that justice finally be given, because until justice is given in this case, it's just a travesty.
And the website, again, is leonardpeltier.org. Thanks so much for joining me today, Barry. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and Leonard very much appreciates all the support. And like I say, just winding up, this is a 30-year-old case but it's indicative of what could happen to any of us if we just remain complacent.
Santa Cruz 101.1 FM y freakradio.org. Este es un grupo local, pues más o menos del sur de este condado. Se llama La Plebe de Watsonville. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1. That was La Plebe, local band with Lagarte Lucrecia. And you're listening to the Critical Mass Radio Network here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. I hope you're enjoying it. As I mentioned, I have some words forwarded along by Harvey Arden, actually written by Keith Rabin, though, from July of this year. This is called, or an excerpt from, As Spotted Tail Returned from Leavenworth, So Has Leonard Peltier. I will try to touch your heart. I reach into your thoughts, and by doing so, you will begin to question the truth. Question the reason for the FBI cover-up of Leonard Peltier. February 6th of 2005 began Leonard Peltier's 30th year in prison. So many years, it's more than half of my own life. Consider this period of time. Consider it in reality of Leonard's world. Leonard's reality. So many years. The question still remains. Why? After Leonard's first parole hearing, the court in its written statement issued the following words, and I quote, "There's the possibility that the jury would have acquitted Leonard Peltier had the records and data improperly withheld from the defense been made available to him." End quote. Withheld, I say, in order to better exploit and reinforce the inconsistencies in the government's case. But the decision of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals kept him in jail. Then why, after what can only be considered another of the many cop-outs of our judicial branch, did the judge further write in a letter requesting that Peltier be released through executive clemency in 2000, the FBI used improper tactics in securing Peltier's extradition from Canada and in otherwise investigating and trying the Peltier case. Excuse me. The FBI lied, then perjured. And they did not tell the truth. They, by any means necessary, though by any means necessary, they were going to convict someone. So, I invite you all to send a letter to Leonard Peltier. Quiero invitarles en México también a mandar una carta a Leonard Peltier. En su dirección nuevo, in his recent move, your fresh words and thoughts you give him will be sounds and whispers he will imagine in his cell at night. May these words inspire the world to set Leonard free. Write to Leonard Peltier, number, this is his prisoner number once again. Leonard Peltier is prisoner number 89637-132. If you're writing, that's 89637-132. At USP Terre Haute, P.O. Box 12015, Terre Haute, Indiana, 47801. This information and more can come from leonardpeltier.org, peltiersupport.org, or lpdc.org. Those sites, again, pretty straightforward, folks. leonardpeltier.org, peltiersupport.org, and LPDC for the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee. Esos son los sitios que tienen más información, creo que solo en inglés, en la red sobre este encarcelado. Quiero cerrar la transmisión con unas canciones de México. Entonces, seguimos con un otro radio pirata, otro radio, pues, insurgente. Gracias por escucharnos. Y otra vez, bienvenidos.